Welcome to Three Cops Talk. On this podcast, three active duty police officers discuss behind-the-scenes stories and real-life accounts of what it's like to be a cop. Every episode, you'll get an inside look at the challenges and dangers they face on a daily basis, as well as the triumphs and inspirational moments that make it all worth it. If you want to understand more about the men and women who put their lives on the line for us every day, then this is the show for you. And now your hosts, Chris, Scott, and Sean.
Well, on today's show, Chris and I provide our thoughts on the governor's decision to introduce the National Guard into the crime-ridden subway system of New York City, and why we don't necessarily think that's a good fit for everybody involved. We also provide you with an update on the murder trial of Chicago police officer Ella French.
The views and opinions expressed in this episode belong solely to the hosts and do not represent the views of any professional organization. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Well, we're joining you exclusively from the southern half of the United States right now. Big Sergeant Scott couldn't be with us today because he's been assigned a detail. I don't know if you know about
this. Secret mission. Secret mission.
It's a new detail down at the city swimming pool in the YMCA. He has to measure women's bathing suits for their appropriate length. And to be a member of the swimsuit morality team requires a lot of staring, judging, making sure that you meet your quota of shame every month. And he's in charge of that. Young lady, come here. That's not 2 inches above your ankle. You cannot go into the
Catholic school nuns. You have to kneel down, and your skirt has to touch the ground,
right.
Or,
exactly.
or you get sighted.
Yeah, but I mean, it's an old fashioned town. There's a lot of history there. I don't know. Like, a lot of people don't know this. You and I can finally freely speak of it because we're unburdened by it. Is that we discovered that the town founder was actually a cannibal. When they first settled the area, that they were in the hopes of, inflating property value and the efficacy of its public school system, as they had a particularly hard winter. And
yes.
Although it's one of the lesser known tales of westward expansion in the United States, it's clearly one of the most harrowing. And since the settlers were not familiar with the terrain and the environment and the harshness of this winter, they quickly ran out of supplies. It got rough, and people resort to horrible things when they have to survive, and had to, unfortunately, because they ran out of food because it was so dang cold, they had to resort to cannibalism, unfortunately.
That's why there's no restaurant in the settlement. They wouldn't know what they're serving.
I want people to know about it. When they actually constructed that statue of him, he had his hand pointing westward, go west, young man. And actually, he was holding a human liver in his hand, and I think it's more like he's like Bob's big boy.
Man, that sculpture's kind of weird. That's his hand's got a liver. What?
Are we sure we want that to be the message of our town?
You are fake news.
If you believe that, you'll believe anything, obviously.
Right.
But Scott, we miss you, buddy. Hopefully you don't get a lot of the problems there because, your absence is noticeable.
Yes, sir. Keep saving lives, brother. Keep saving
right.
lives.
Yeah, doing your thing. Today we got together to talk about something that's almost as unbelievable as what's going on in New York City. The Big Apple has had a crime surge, as you can imagine, for the myriad of reasons that a lot of other cities across America have. And it's manifesting itself like it did in the 70s and 80s in the subway system, the way that most New Yorkers get around across the island. 8 million people have to live there, and several million use the subway system every day. And it's been out of control for a lot of reasons, crime. And apparently, using the police wasn't enough for it, because when you don't have enough cops to do it, why you don't consult with NYPD, which knows what to do to deal with that. Call in the National Guard. They'll come down and
great
help you
idea.
Out.
Great idea.
You know what I mean? Immediately after 9/11 was the last time the National Guard was in the subway system. So we're going to talk about a little bit about that today, as why two seasons copped and me being a veteran of the military and why we think that's not a really good idea.
It shouldn't have to be.
It
shouldn't have to be. I mean, you had years and years and years where you had police that would want to do it and everything else and go down there and protect the citizens in New York and make sure the rail system was good and all this other stuff. I just think that as cops, we just get fed up. Like, I'm down there, risking my lives, and you're letting these horrible people, bad people, out again and out again and out again, and I'm arresting them. And then to top it all off, if I have to get into a struggle with them, or I have to chase them down or whatever, then you want to get me in trouble. Why would you do that?
Yeah, right. Well, a little backstory on it. 750 National Guard troops have been placed in the subway system from the New York State National Guard by the governor, Kathy Hochul.
So just to our listeners, it's 750 Soldiers.
Okay. According to this article that I'm reading, 750 soldiers have been down there. They're being also supplemented by the New York State Police. They're basically bringing the guard down there to create the feeling of being more secure. They're not really making them more secure. They just want to create the feeling of that. The guard, in their defense, they're not equipped to do this. If you think it's a problem that cops are too young, now take 18 and 19 year olds right. that, you know, are members of the National Guard. And I'm not dismissing the National Guard, but they're not aware of arrest tactics. Are they wearing body cameras? Do they have handcuffs? Do they have the authority to arrest?
Right.
Are they there to just assist? And the other issue is that they were initially deployed with their rifles. And when you get yourself in all of these progressive machinations about how rifles are awful and we don't want to treat criminals like they're our enemy, well, when you put the military down there with the gear that they're issued, what message are you really sending?
Right.
And what the military is doing down there is checking bags for weapons, similar to what people were concerned about right after 9/11, weapons that were like, you know, bombs or bigger weapons that people could cause some real terror in the subway system. And a lot of people are like, you know, how is this honestly really making us safer when we don't address the other issues that surround it?
You're not addressing the situation, period. It's like if you have a child and the child's not doing something, you address the child. If you have a bad person that's doing something, you address the bad person. And you address them according to what you believe is the right way to rear your child or the right way to correct a bad guy's behavior. You're not doing anything. You're putting people down there dressed in uniforms that don't know what the rules of engagement are. They don't know what they're supposed to do. They don't know how far they can take it. Then you take their equipment away. Right. Now what are you going to do?
Right.
On top of the fact of, even if you arrest somebody, you're not going to prosecute anyway. They're going to be out in 15 minutes.
Right.
So instead of sending the National Guard in there, why don't you back the police, back their play, and if it's a good case, prosecute. If it's not a good case, throw it out. You have right. the police that know what they're doing. Have them do their job and back them. Like the National Guard does nothing. You have 750 people that don't know what the hell they're doing. That's what you have.
Right. I mean, and again, at a certain point, you know, we've undermined the police. Now, in defense of the National Guard, why are we trying to undermine the National Guard?
Right.
Like they said to us throughout, remember Ferguson's big cry was it was the militarization of the police. We right. want to try to avoid that. We want to try to avoid this. Well, they skipped over the militarization of police and went just right to the military.
Right.
Why take a group of guys that are doing right by their nation, doing right by their states, and put them in situations now that they're going to be demonized unfairly? Because no doubt if a guardsman tries to do something like a police officer does, and I mean, are they going to be protected from civil liability? Are they going to be held to the same standard that we are because you're having these people routinely stop people and check bags? Whose bags are you checking?
Right.
Like, well, how are we identifying properly? It's not like a TSA type thing. Like if I'm just routinely checking bags as a police officer, people are going to say to me, well, what's your reasonable suspicion or probable cause to do that?
Right. What happens if you got like everybody's been sending me these stupid things or these auditors go to these public buildings and try and trap cops and stuff like that? What happens if you get somebody down there that knows what they're talking about? And by the way, these auditors don't know what they're talking about.
Yep.
That goes, nah, I'm not going to show you my bag. What are they going to do?
Right.
They're going to arrest them? Send them? You can't come on a train?
Put hands on them? Are they going to use physical force?
But then you're taking their rifles and you're tying their hands. They can't even stand there and show a use of force. They can't do their job properly. So all you're doing is now, like you said, you skipped the militarization of the police, which is non-existent. Then you went to the military, and not only did you handcuff the hands of the police, now you're handcuffing the hands of the National Guard. And you're not giving them any parameters. You're not giving them any type of rules of engagement. And all you're going to do is you're not addressing the problem. The problem is when people do something wrong, you have to prosecute. And and they're not doing that. They're putting people there just to stand there and look like a statue, because even if somebody does something wrong, okay, it's not going to do anything because nobody is getting arrested and nobody is being punished. And I think that just goes along with a lot of other things that, you know, you see this as ongoing in people that are causing damage. They're harming people. They're stealing. I mean, there's a number of things that they're doing, but it's just, it goes unpunished. And I think what they're doing with the state of New York is they're trying to show that they want to do something and also not lose votes at the same time, which I think is horrible. I think it's horrible. I think if you have a problem, I think you address the problem accordingly. And I think what happens is the fact that they get so wrapped up in the votes and they get so wrapped up in, you know, wanting to be popular that they do not do what's right for the people. And you see it every day. You see them, you know, solving a problem by putting a Band-Aid on a, you know, on a bucket that's pouring out. It just, it doesn't make any sense. So I think what they need to do is I think they need to back the police, back the National Guard. I mean, if you have them in there and you have them doing what they need to do, then what you do is you go ahead and you pursue that avenue of how you're going to correct the problem, but you give them all the tools and all the backing that they need to be successful, to make your city safe.
You, one of the bigger issues as to why these things continue to happen is that we don't know what to do with the homeless population appropriately. And then the other problem is that when we catch them and arrest them, Alvin Bragg won't prosecute them. And then upstate in the legislature in Albany, she doesn't want to defy anybody up there about maybe this bond reform stuff isn't working out. And that's, if this isn't working out, you just can't simply say, let me fix this with sending the guard down there. You know, putting them in situations that are no win. I'm creating, again, the illusion that, you know, you're going to feel safer. The feeling of safety as opposed to real safety, if you're going to spend that kind of money to do that.
She has a good idea. They're short cops. This is a way to make her people feel safe in her state. Right. And I get it and I applaud it. But you can't go half throttle. You can't. And you can't go half throttle on a problem. You have to go full throttle on a problem. By that, I mean bad guys get arrested and they get prosecuted. That's it. And to me, here's the thing. When you have the solution looking at you right in the face, it becomes even more frustrating because the solutions are simple. Stop the border. Right. Don't stop people from coming here, but have them come through legal channels because do you think Venezuela or Guatemala is sending us their doctors and their lawyers? No, they're emptying their prisons and taking them to the bus to the border. You have to stop that. That is going to be now let people come in, let them come in legally. That will solve a majority of your problems. Right. Number one. Number two, prosecute the people that do wrong things. I'm not saying give everybody a life sentence, you know, that jaywalks. Let the punishment fit the crime and prosecute it. Because 99.9% of the people, even as a cop, when I get pulled over, I lay my badge out there. But the first thing I say is, yeah, wasn't paying attention. I was doing whatever. Sorry. And when they go, and I go, this badge is to make you feel more comfortable that you're not going to deal with somebody who's going to harm you. I deserve the ticket. I did. Give it to me. This is about not getting a break. This is about making you feel better because this is where policemen get killed. So 99% of the people know that they did wrong. They're going to take their little bit of punishment and move on. If you're not going to take advantage of the things that are right in front of your face to make it better, you don't deserve to be a politician. As much as it may hurt your campaign or whatever, it's just for the safety of your people. And then you are not doing that. And now, like you said, you're hamstringing the police. You don't have enough police. Now we're the bad guys. Then you put them in there. Now they're going to do something down there that they're going to try and help people, and then they're going to be out and made the boss. Then, Governor, what is your next step? Then what do you do?
The next step is the people have to pay attention to who they're electing and knowing that they can't keep people like this in charge. I mean, this is all the democratic process, and she's in there. I get if, you know, if you still have faith in the voting process, she was voted in overwhelmingly because she used to be the lieutenant governor there. Under Cuomo, she was now voted in, and this is her response. You know, NYPD, when they talk to anybody about NYPD, no one can give a straight answer about the consultation fact, which echoes the idea that a lot of people are saying, a lot of people in think tanks that are looking at this and going, this isn't a good idea, because NYPD wasn't really consulted in the process, because they haven't clearly established how the guard's even going to communicate. Like, you know how difficult that is. You go into another town to do something, and if you're not on their channel, sure, or you do have to get on their channel communication-wise, if you don't speak the speak that they do, and you haven't practiced, like, you know, are these guardsmen versed in the idea of how they get on the radio and call out what they're right. dealing with? And I'm sure they've been given a hip pocket class on it, right, because that's how you do this when you're throwing people into this quickly. Do they even have radios?
Right.
If they took away the rifles, what are they armed with?
Right.
They come across someone that actually says, let's say they have a weapon.
Right.
That is going to, maybe it is a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
They're going to have to defer to the local law enforcement, because they're the only ones with the guns that are appropriate or at least available to deal with. You know, everybody from every angle that's looking at this, whether it be from the military side, the police side, experienced NYPD people, they're like, you don't need the military to protect the subway.
No.
I think the chief of the patrol division actually got on Twitter and blasted that out, which kind of lends credence to the fact that, you know, maybe NYPD isn't on board with this. You know, the people that, you know, basically changed that city in the early 90s and 2000s, and everything that they did to make that city safe and right was demonized and made into racist overtones, and Giuliani and Bill Bratton were the people that oversaw this, have to stand here and actually defend taking the most violent city in America and make it one of the safest places to be, only to see it revert back to it again. And now we're using tactics that they railed against. Put men with really long rifles in there that are from the military to make people feel safe, as opposed to actually really right. long-term making them yep. safe. And obviously, you know, we don't agree with it. We think it's a silly idea. We hope it doesn't catch on across America, where now National Guard units are now greeting everybody that comes in somewhere, whether, you know, you're coming in via train, subway, or plane. You know, like, we're in a police state in that sense. Like, a true police state right. is that there's a gun on every corner. There's a guy spying yep. or looking at you on every corner, because we didn't when the cops responded to the real problems, we turned them into something that they weren't. We turned them into problems that made cops go, I don't want to do this anymore. And two, nobody new wants to come in and do it. And, oh, by the way, you cut my budget. You cut, mm-hmm. you know, $21 million out of my budget to train and equip me to do this properly. Hey, reap what you sow, folks. Hey, pay attention to elections, because this yeah. is the crap that goes on. This is not the answer. No. The New York National Guard, and I'm not knocking that National Guard. No. That's not what I'm saying.
No.
Is not the answer to this. You're putting those good men and women in bad positions.
This is no knockdown on the National Guard people or any military. This has got to do with the fact that they're putting those poor young men and women in a situation that they're going to lose. Because they're taking away everything that they know, everything that they need, and not giving them any education on what to do. They're setting them up for failure, and it's horrible. Horrible.
Yeah, right, right. And again, it's nothing that honestly right now shocks me. When I saw it, I was like, oh, that's not going to work. That was my first instinct. And I wasn't alone. And people that are way smarter than me, that have PhDs, that work for Manhattan Institute, the New York Post, a lot, even the New York Times doesn't necessarily think this is a good idea. It's, you know, politicians desperate to keep people voting for them. And again, New Yorkers, be smarter than that. You're one of our biggest listening audiences now. When you have all the boroughs together, Chris, I don't know if you know this, when you add them up, they actually now outnumber Chicago. I know that hurts you. Does it hurt you that's happening?
No, they could come from Timbuktu. Just
Keep listening. Keep passing the word around.
I see the wheels turning in regards to, and I'm not saying that liberals are going to become conservative and conservatives are going to become liberal and dogs are going to live with cats and all this other, but I'm starting to see the funnel tighten to more a more right versus wrong versus liberal versus conservative. I think they're starting to say, like, more common sense policies and more common sense stuff, because people are looking at this. And there was a guy who commented on this the other day, who every day it's something negative about Trump, well, whatever. But he came on Twitter the other day and he's like, What are we doing?
Right.
He goes, I feel no safer with these military people now because they have no guns. And what are they supposed to do?
Right. And now if God forbid, and I'm not wishing this on anybody, but God forbid if now you got some psychopathic terrorist or somebody that wants to come down there and cause some real havoc, we're just going to get a bunch of guardsmen maimed and killed right. and rolled up in this. Like, they can't do anything about it. It's like this idea of, like, nothing works. We're trying to convince people that we're helping them in some way. Stop trying to fool them.
Right.
And go after the things that you really need to go after, like we talked about. Look, we have a problem with mental health and the homeless community. Go hand in hand forever.
Right.
Look, sometimes you just can't get through to people. They won't go to the treatment that they should be going to. Here's the other side of it. A lot of these problems are also for, like, we got to get 16 and 17-year-olds into family court that are basically, you know, really super violent human beings. Right. And even progressives in New York are becoming concerned about it and are being shut down by people that are further progressive than they are about, you can't do that, you can't whatever, but these kids are getting family court. Family court system is, as we all know, designed differently. It's about getting people back out on the street as it, in its ideal sense, should be. Now, these are some of the other issues that are down right. there. You're going to put guardsmen down there facing down a 16-year-old with a gun. What's the guardsman going to do? And he's an 18-year-old.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
or she's an 18-year-old.
Yeah, there was this thing in Chicago. They're taking down the shot cameras. What do they call it?
Yep.
The shot spotters. Yep. They're taking those down because a cop shot a kid that was pointing a gun at him. Right. So everybody's in an uproar, you know.
Yeah.
But again, right. I mean, I'm going off on a tangent. But what I'm ultimately saying is the fact that people, conservative or liberals, are starting to recognize that this is a serious issue, and I think what they have to do is, like, they have to vote for what they feel is a common sense politician. And I also mm-hmm. think what they need to do is, what is the solution and how are we going to get there? And by putting a lipstick on a donkey, it's still a donkey. It doesn't, like, you need the military. If you're a short policeman, you want to put the military in there, I'm all for it. I want you to give them guns. I want you to give them radios. I want you to give them rules of engagement. I want you to deputize them, whatever you need to do. And then when right. they bring them in, right. I want you to prosecute, because you know what's going to happen? Give it 60 days. When you put those military men and women down there and you give them an order to do their job and they do their job to the letter of the law, to the T, guess what's going to happen? 60 days, people are going to go, those are some badass people down there. So I may not want to fuck around down there.
I think what I'm most concerned about, we don't need the military to do what police can do.
Right.
And the police don't need to be doing what the military can do.
Right.
Police work in the United States is infinitely harder in a lot of ways
right.
than people give it credit for. And I think if we keep this up, the military is going to find that out and they're not going to like it either. And they're going to be bad guys just like us if they take the action that they do. It doesn't change it because you're in BDUs,
right.
you know, or you're in camouflage.
Right. And then you start taking their spirit. Guess what? Now you have a military problem. Like right. you have a police problem.
Well, some other things in the police world have taken place in the last week. And there's a story that we have covered quite a bit because of our proximity to Chicago and relationships with CPD and our audience there. And it was the murder trial of Officer Ella French and the attempted murder trial of her partner, Officer Carlos Yanez. And it was a 2-week long trial in Cook County. And fortunately for us, the jury returned a verdict of guilty in all of those counts. You know, obviously, it's not going to bring Ella back and undo any of the violence that has continued to happen against Chicago right. police officers. But I know probably as a group of us, but specifically Chicago police officers, this is something that they needed. I mean, they're under a lot of pressure, heat, and a lack of appreciation, it seems, in that city. So for this to come back, it's very important. One of the things that I found mm-hmm. ironic from it during the testimony, of course, the defense does what it always does and claims it was a misunderstanding, it was a conspiracy, sure. it was, you know, profiling, and nothing really happened. All of those things are thrown out there almost like automatically. But one of the things that I found interesting that I'd not heard in a defense's argument was the body cameras from the police officers, the footage that was used was basically not telling the whole story.
Right, right, right.
Was, you know, that's almost laughable right. because whenever yep. we tell that and we're trying to defend a police officer for using force justifiably,
yep.
it said, well, you know, that's just you guys covering it up. Too bad, so sad. This is why we needed it.
Right.
And again, we have these knee-jerk reactions that say, you know, when police officers don't turn on their body cameras, there's all sorts of, you know, nefarious no. reasons behind it, not the stress of a moment. And when you recount what happened to the two officers in this case, both Ella and Carlos, that's harrowing. I know that was a gut kick to all of us to listen and watch.
Yeah, that was. I was watching her, the killer's mom, give a speech about how the injustice was there. And I'm like, and I'm watching this and I'm thinking, and I have a very good friend of mine who worked that case. He worked the case. Yeah. And there's stuff that I can't see on air.
Yeah.
What I thought was funny is that she was allowed to go on, and knowing what I know about the case, saying stuff on the news about, you know, how it's an injustice, and, you know, the body cam shows it, but that didn't really happen. And, you know, the justice will be served through the appeals process. And I'm sitting there going, all these mics and all these things, and all we're looking for here in the world is the truth. And it has to be horrendous to be a parent of a child that murdered somebody.
Right.
But come on. So I'm anxious to see what this, especially with the body cam. I'm really anxious to see how this appeal folds out, because I think this is going to be a huge case for body cameras. I really do. But he's going to be in jail, hopefully, for the rest of his life. Everybody, thank you guys so much for listening to the show. Scott, hopefully that, you know, you're out there, you know, checking those skirts and making sure that they're all length and getting your quota of, you know, mini skirts and stuff like that. Can't wait to see you at the next show.
Town Founder, everybody, be proud of you, buddy.
Town Founder, be proud of you. Please, wherever you get your podcasts, go leave a rating, subscribe, and let your friends know so we can get the word out to other people. If you have a suggestion for a show, any questions, you could email us at 3copstalk@gmail.com, and anything old episodes, information about the three of us, you can go to 3copstalk.com, and you can also leave comments and concerns there. Thank you, everybody, and have a blessed day.